الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on Prophet Ibrahim. Some could say Abraham, different ways that people say the name of the same person. And I'm going to look at this from the Islamic perspective. And again, like I said in many other episodes or classes, I said that what I talk about, it is just the tip of the iceberg, meaning just a little bit above the water about the particular topic, but underneath the water is the mountainous amount of knowledge about the subject, which I'm not going to touch on that. You have to go to various other leaders or scholars and find out more information about what underneath the water, the massive part of particular topics I'm talking about. But right now, I'm just giving you very, very, very basic information about any topic that I talk about, and today I'm doing the same thing with Ibrahim, giving you some basic information about this individual who was one of the prophets of Allah to the people. And so I want to just mention one thing to you all is that Ibrahim, he always had this spirit of the oneness of Allah. In other words, Only God, only existing, only one we're supposed to worship and nothing else. And so there's one time, and I might be getting ahead of myself, that he was older, and he looked up and he saw the sun. He said, "Okay, that's my Lord." And then the sun set, and how can I worship a Lord that sets, that disappears at night, and then on the coming of the night, and then. Then he looked at the moon and said, "This is my Lord." And the same thing for it. It disappears. And then the sun takes its place and said, "How can I basically worship a thing that is there, is present during the night, but then during the daytime, it's not there?" And the stars and other things. But I won't get into that right now because that's not part of the class. I'm going to get to some of the unique aspects of a prophet Ibrahim's life. When he was 6 or 7 years old, he always questioned why people worship what his father made with his hands. In other words, his father was the main idol maker for the people. And we know for a lot of people, and maybe some of my students, maybe you do this too, I don't know, they will make things out of wood or out of stone or clay or something like that, and then people start to worship it. They did the same thing in Mecca before Islam, in that they made things with their own hand, and then they would worship it like it's an intercessor. It's like it was one that was in between to communicate what I wanted or needed to these things, these objects I made in my hand, and then it relayed to Allah. They knew about Allah, but they made these idols to be, "You represent me before Allah, and I made you with my own hands, out of wood or out of stone or mud or something like that. I made you with my own hands." And people doing this now all over the world. where they make things with their own hand, and then they worship what they made. And what kind of God is that you're going to make with your own hands and then begin to worship it? When God made you, he is a harlot. He is the one that made you, not you making him. And so I just want you to look at the logic of that. It's the fact that, okay, I made this thing in my shop with my hand out of wood, carved it, sanded it down, all this kind of thing, painted whatever I did to it, and then I set it up somewhere, and then I begin to worship this thing. And so just something wrong with that logic to me. And so Allah bless us with logic, mankind with logic. So use your logic and think, does this make sense? I just made this thing in my hands, and now I think it's greater than me. And I had control over it. Before it didn't exist. Before I made it, it did not exist at all. I made it out of the tree. I made it out of stone. I made it out of mud. And then it exists, and then I start to worship it. And so for Allah exists before human beings, way before human beings. As the human beings are gone from this world, he will still exist. That's Allah. That's the supreme being that we all are supposed to worship. But let me go on, because that's not all this class is about. But his father was the main person to make the idols for the people to come and buy and then begin to worship them. One day, the town folks, they went to this grand festival, if you will. And then at that time, Abraham, he said that he was sick. He didn't go with them. But he stayed back, and he smashed up all the idols. Except for the huge one, except for the big one, he let that one alone and hung the weapon that he used, or the tool he used to smash up the other idols. He hung that one around the neck of the bigger one. And then the people came back, and of course they were upset. And they said, what happened? What happened to our guys, if you will? Who did this? And they knew Abraham was back there. He left them back there, and so he caught the blame. He caught the blame for it. But what he said was, hey, look, ask that big one over there. You want to know who did this to the other ones? That big one right there, that big idol right there, you make your own hands, ask that one who did it. And the people knew that they weren't going to get an answer from the idol that they made with their own hands, or their father made with his hand. And so what they did, they built a large fire. It is like three stories high. They kept throwing wood and wood, all burning, all combustible things inside the fire. And then what they did next, they put Abraham on what they call a calipo, and then they cut it and they hurled him into the fire. And some say that Abraham, he had mentioned that, yes, for him, that was the best time in his life. Because what happened is Allah cooled the fire. Allah did not let the fire burn like we know with fire, it burns. It burns houses, it burns cars, it burns people, whatever, paper, it will burn just about anything. And you get the right intensity upon the fire and melt just about anything. And so, but Allah made that fire that they built, which was three stories high, he made it cool and not to burn the skin of Abraham. And so, I'm going to move on to the next unique thing about this particular individual. Is that Abraham, he was released from the fire and left. And then he mentioned to a king that Allah has caused his life, Allah caused his life, hayya, and also mouth, and called death. And so the king said, basically, I could do the same thing. So he had one slave killed, and another one he allowed to live. And so it was said later on to him, He said, okay, good. All right, look. Okay, Allah makes the sun rise from the east and set in the west. And he told the king, make the sun rise from the west and set in the east if you have that much power about you. And the king knew there was no way that he could not do that at all. And so let me just tell you that Allah says in chapter, and you will open your Quran up, because everyone should have a copy of Quran, and you can get them for free at, you get them for free, that's why it's whyislam.org, or you can even go online to Quran, Quran.com, and you can, and that's basically free, and you can just go to that particular website and follow along with, because it has it in Arabic, it has it in English, and also it'll recite also for you on that page, the Arabic strip for you, which Quran came up to us in Arabic and not so much the other languages, and that is in now. And so Allah says regarding this, what Ibrahim said, and exactly what Allah says, and he said, and it said here, what Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and brings death. He said, oh, I'm sorry, this is chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 8. Again, chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 8 in your Quran. Because I want you all to follow along with me as I read. This is the only text that is required for this class, which is the Quran. Which is the Quran, which is last revelation sent to mankind. Allah sent the Torah. He sent the Bible or the Injil unto the people for guidance, for them to get know what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. He sent this to us, and then the last revelation he sent to mankind for balance, if you will, for guidance, is the Quran. And so Quran is in Arabic, but many people have translated so you understand a little bit better in Spanish and Urdu and English and other French and other languages, so they'd be able to get even a better understanding, but to get a really succinct, a good understanding of Quran is that you be able to read the Arabic and be able to translate that and understand what the Arabic is saying. Because a lot of times in other languages, it doesn't capture the what the Arabic is saying. The feel is not there. You get some general information there, yes. You get to understand what's going on, yes. The various history of Islam and the various things to do and not to do from an Islamic standpoint. But in terms of really understanding it, the Arabic is the best to do. And I also encourage my students to, if you get a chance to learn Arabic, and then you'll be able to read the Quran and learn from the various scholars Quran and how to recite it correctly. Because Quran has various rules that you have to follow in order to read it correctly. You read it with the correct sounds and the makhraj and where the sounds come from. And sometimes you have different symbols where you have to elongate whenever you say that particular letter. But that's a whole other class I certainly cannot get into now. So let's get to, again, you should be there, chapter 2, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow. Verse 2, 5, 8. And it says, my Lord is the one, Ibrahim went and said, my Lord is the one who gives life and brings death. And he said, and the king said, I give life and I bring death. Ibrahim said, Allah brings the sun out from the east. Now you bring it out from the west. Here, Baful was the one who disbelieved, and Allah does not bring the wrongdoers to the right path. this king was one of the wrongdoers, and Ibrahim challenged him, and he was baffled by that. He said, Allah brings the sun up from the east, you bring it from the west. And he knows no way that he could do anything like that. And so we need to understand that Allah is the greatest, and not any kind of man, and not any kind of king or prime minister or whatever, that Allah supersedes all of them. So let me move on. Again, we're talking about some unique things about Prophet Ibrahim. And I'll give you a very, very small synopsis, if you will, about this particular prophet. And then you have another king who wanted his lovely wife, and he told his wife to say, and Ibrahim told his wife to say that he was her brother, so that the king would not kill him. So we know the situation that the king, they saw his wife, and he said, man, that's I like that. And so the king wanted to know, well, who is this man to you that's with you? Because had she said, he is my husband, and the king really wanted Sarah, his wife, so more than likely, he would have killed Ibrahim so he could take his wife. So he said, no, tell him that I'm your brother. Don't tell him I'm your husband. And so, all right, so they left and went with the king. And the king had the wife alone, Sarah alone. And he tried to approach Sarah one time, and Allah paralyzed him. He couldn't move. Then he tried again the second time, and Allah paralyzed the king, and he couldn't move. He couldn't approach Sarah. And then the king, he went through it two times. But was that enough? No. He did it a third time. He tried to approach Sarah, and he was paralyzed. And then he thought in terms of something is not right about this woman, something evil about this woman, I'm going to leave her alone. And so he gave her some money, and he also gave her a servant, and basically sent her back to her husband, brother. Okay? So that's what happened in that particular situation. And so let me move on. And so also another unique thing about this man, Ibrahim, is that one day he was out and three men approached him. Very handsome men, clothed well, and not the clothing not touched by dust, anything like that. And they came to him, and he welcomed them. And he said, where are you going? And they said, these three men said, we're going to Sodom, Gomorrah, whatever, those two cities, and we're going to destroy the people there. Because these three handsome men, that they were angels, and they came in the form of men. And Ibrahim, he said, he got an animal, saw the animal, and also killed the animal, and was going to serve his guests. And then what happened, the guests did not eat. And it got strange, what's going on? You are not eating? And they basically, for the angels, they don't eat. And so he backed up, and then he said, where you're going? And they explained they were going. But he said, well, don't you know that Lut is there with his family? The believers are there. And basically said, we are the angels sent by Allah to destroy these towns, and we are well aware of who's there. And then they left. And so let me move on to the next sort of unique thing about Prophet Ibrahim, and that is he and his son, they built the Kaaba on the instruction of Jibril. The Kaaba is, if you go and whatever search engine you use, put in Kaaba, Kaaba, and then it should pop up this cube-like object, and with a black cover over it. And for us as Muslims, when we pray towards that. That's our central place. We pray towards. We don't pray for it or at it. That's just our central place where we the hub, if you will, where we pray all over the world. When we make prayer, we do it towards the Qibla. The Qibla is direction of the Kaaba. So this is what we do. And so you can, if you like, you can go ahead, listen to me, and you can go ahead and search Kaaba, K-A-B-A, and you can see what it looks like. And also, if you go to other, for example, Mecca Live, something like that, then you will see people circling around or make a tawaf around the Kaaba going counterclockwise. Your clock kind of goes from left to right, and the people going around the Kaaba really from right to left when they go circle the Kaaba. And that is only that we pray in that direction, but that is not what we pray to, because we pray to Allah. And so let me relate that to Ibrahim. And that is, he and his son, they built the Kaaba. They built the Kaaba under the instruction of Angel Jibril. Angel Jibril, of course, was a messenger angel that bring the message to the various messengers, prophets of Allah. He brought those things to those words from Allah to those messengers. And the same thing with the Quran. He brought that to the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. Prophet Muhammad was in what they call Kaaba Hira, and he was always going to kind of to meditate and get away from everyone. He was secluding himself to this cave. And then one day the angel Bill came to him. He was a little bit scared because you know what that was. And so Angel Bill came to him and basically said to him, I'll make the shorter explanation. And he said to him, he said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. He told him to read the name of your Lord to the end. And first time he did it, he said, you know, I cannot read. And then he squeezed him, and then he told him to read, and I cannot read. Then it again kind of squeezed him, and then he began to recite after Prophet Ibrahim. Because Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he could not read or write. He was an illiterate man. And so this was the person that was the last prophet sent to mankind under the guidance of Allah. Nothing he did on his own, he did this from Allah. And also his companion would ask him, they would say, is this from you, Prophet Muhammad, meaning a human being, or is this from Allah? This is inspiration you got from Allah. And so they wanted to know. They wanted to distinguish between okay, what was from Allah and what was from him. Okay, so I'm going to move on because that gets us to a whole nother explanation and a whole nother class. And so again, Ibrahim and his son, they built the Kaaba under the instruction of Angel Jibril. And the black stone was given to him by Jibril. Now, at first the stone was white, but blackened by the sins of people. So let me explain that to you. And what I mean by that is that they received this black stone from Angel Jibril, and then he gave it to Ibrahim. And Ibrahim, he sat it into a corner of the Kaaba. And to this day, that particular stone is still there. Matter of fact, when you go to Mihaj, H-A-G-G, you start there, or when you make Umrah, okay, you start there, and then you circle around the Kaaba seven times. And then later on, you go to the stand of Ibrahim, which I'll get into that in a moment. And so it was white at the beginning because of the sins of people. It blackened over the years. So let me move on. Again, since you are already in chapter 2, go to verse 125. Again, chapter 2, verse 125. And it says, and remember will be made the house, the Kaaba at Mecca, a place of resort, for people and a place of safety. And then we're talking about the Kaaba of Ibrahim, or the place of Ibrahim where he stood. This is the place where Ibrahim stood with a stone there. Ibrahim stood on the stone to help build the Kaaba. And then his footprints were sunk into the stone. And to this day, those footprints are still there for Ibrahim. And it's like an encase, if you will. And people can see it. They can't touch it, but they can see it. And then they make prayers near there, not towards it, near there. And then they go and do some other parts of the ritual. So let's move on, my beautiful students. So at that point, we commanded Ibrahim and Ismael that they should purify my house, meaning the Kaaba at Mecca, for those who are circumnavigating it, and standing in itikaf, or bowing or prostrating themselves therein for prayer. I won't get into those terms I use right now, maybe at a later date, but right now they're not, I guess, important right now because what we're talking about today. They're important, but it doesn't really fit with the explanation of what I'm talking about in terms of Prophet Ibrahim when you're talking about itikaf and also the bowing and praying, that kind of thing. So we really won't get into that. But let me move on. Now, for us as Muslims, one of the prayers that we make includes the proper Ibrahim. So what do I mean by that? And basically, it's saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala ali Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Any mistakes I made, that is from me. And this says, O Allah, send prayers upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad, just as you send prayers upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim. Verily, you are the praiseworthy and the glorious. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, just as you bless Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim. Verily, you are the praiseworthy and the glorious. So these are the wonderful supplications that we make, which include Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet sent to mankind, and Ibrahim, the one that built the Kaaba, and all the things I mentioned to you earlier pertaining to this particular prophet of Allah. These are just some unique things I talked about regarding this individual, and I'm going to assume that you all will remember them. I will remember them and use it in your talks or conversation with other people and ask them the question, did you know? And then if they don't know, then you can tell them, or you can tell them to listen to this particular class, and then they would know. They would understand more about this man named Ibrahim. So my beautiful students, where we're going to end now. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.